Hey, this is mild-mannered photographer Alex Erdy.
And this is mild-mannered man on the street, Sam Riedel.
And we're just going to introduce the second part of this episode. If you just downloaded this part first, expect to hear such things as...
Myself and mild-mannered music man, that's right, his title changed, Mike Gilbert, being mad scientists, Dr. Doom and Dr. Savannah.
Our review of World War Hulk and Planet Hulk.
And a very special episode of Masterpiece Comic Book Theater featuring J. Michael Straczynski's new Thor Volume 1.
And featuring Mouth Magic from Sam Riedel and Michael John Gilbert.
Indeed.
Yes.
We hope you enjoy part two, and if you indeed did download this first, please go back, look at part one. First, in this'll all make a lot of sense.
Yeah, a lot of 9/11 jokes, so you won't be.
You'll not be disappointed.
Yeah.
Good people, good listeners of the internet,
mm-hmm.
And we hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Masterpiece Comic Book Theater. I'm your host for the week, mild-mannered music man Mike Gilbert. This week, we will be performing a piece from the new hardcover release of Thor. And I will be playing the role of Thor. And mild-mannered man on the street, Sam Riedel, will be playing the role of Tony Stark / Iron Man. We hope you enjoy this rendition.
Hello, Thor. We need to talk. Before I start the formalities, I just wanted to say that I'm glad to see you again. Glad to see you alive. Your presence has been sorely missed. Nothing to say? Not even a good to see you again, Tony? We were friends for a long time, you know? Fine, then I'll get to the formalities. You didn't seriously think you could plunk Asgard down in the middle of the American heartland and not have everybody from the National Guard to the White House up in arms about it, did you? I mean, yes, we checked, and the deed to the land it sits on has been properly paid for, and technically you own it, but things have changed around here while you were gone. It's real simple, Thor. You either work with the government... for the government, or you're against the government. There's no middle ground. The satellite recon photos confirm you're all alone up in that place. We can take it if we choose, or force you to move it. Or you can do the right thing and put Asgard someplace appropriate, where you sign on with the good guys again and we get back to work. So, what do you say?
Yes. Things have changed. You have hunted down those we once fought beside and called comrades. Killed or imprisoned those who opposed you, regardless of their previous loyalties. Surely this would have been offense enough, but you went further. Much further. You took my genetic code, and without my permission, without my knowledge, used it to create an abomination. An aberration. An insult! And this, you told the world, was me. You defiled my body, desecrated my trust, violated everything that I am. Is this how you define friendship? Is it? Is it?
All right, I can see you're upset by this, but you don't know the full story here, Thor. You...
Spring!
I'd hope to do this the easy way, Thor, but you leave me no choice. I'll apologize later. Fine, we'll do this old school.
Spring!
Oh, damn. That really... Damn.
Rerouting power relays. 15% damage to systems. Self-repair to complete in 2 minutes.
You've been working out.
No. There's only one difference. In this time and this place, I am no longer holding back.
What are you...
Sensors detect atmospheric anomaly. Electromagnetic pulse in 4 seconds.
No!
3, 2, 1... Ah! Total systems failure. Total systems...
Give your orders and ultimatums to those who choose to obey or are too cowardly to fight, not to me. Or learn again the difference between a god of thunder and a mortal man in a metal suit. As for your masters, since power is all they understand, tell them that Thor says this. If any mortal comes uninvited to Asgard on behalf of those who support themselves to be powers, within the hour, they will learn what true power is. The skies will open and deliver the first part of that message in terms even the blind could not fail to see. Anyone attempting to escape the message will find entering the skies even more dangerous. And this will only be the beginning of their education. For their own good and yours, go to them and convey that warning. Do not let them forget what a god of thunder is and what that means. Now that your war of brothers is done, I have no interest in becoming involved on either side of the disagreement. I am, for the moment, neutral. Do not give me cause to reconsider that position.
There's a possible solution, a compromise position. If we treat Asgard as a separate entity, like a diplomatic mission or embassy, then it's not officially United States territory, especially since it's technically hovering 8 feet above the U.S. territory. That would put Asgard and everyone who lives there outside the jurisdiction of the Registration Act and give you diplomatic immunity. An approach along those lines would make sure my superiors don't lose face, and that would be necessary to sell this. How's that work for you?
It will suffice. You can go.
My armor's fried. How am I supposed to get back to base?
Walk. One last thing. At this moment, I have more pressing business to attend to. But in the same time to come, be assured that you and I will finish discussing your violation of my person, my genetic code, and what was once a friendship that I valued.
Right.
Thank you. And that was Masterpiece Comic Book Theater. We hope you've enjoyed this week's performance. Thank you. And we're back.
Yeah. E5 Mike.
Yee.
That was a good choice.
Thank you. I hope we haven't lost Alex in his train
of
thought.
Hey guys, I'm here.
Never mind, he's okay. We thought you would.
So, why couldn't I be the computer voice? I'm just going to ask that.
It was actually a split decision. It was actually like a split decision.
We forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of forgot about that halfway through.
You're going to think, hey, we have 3 people. Maybe, you know, even if it is 2, there is a computer voice. Maybe Alex would like to be a computer.
We're sorry, Adam.
God,
we thought you'd be insulted if we wanted to make you a computer.
I'm just so angry right now.
Ha ha ha, I see what you're doing, ha. You're so angry because the characters whose comic books we're reviewing today, his focus is around anger. Ha ha, I see what you're doing.
I'm so angry that I'm going to word my I'm going to choose my words correctly. And I am going to put them into eloquent statements that are short and pithy.
Wow, that doesn't sound like the character we're going to review at all.
No, it's very much like the character. I disagree with you very much. Period.
Full stop.
I am hurt that my acting ability could not be picked to play a computer. It reminds me as a child when I was not allowed to even be a tree. Period.
Well, full you wouldn't stop. Be allowed to be a tree because you're not a tree, Alex.
I have to say, no offense to your tree abilities, you aren't a tree. Last I checked.
Well,
if you came from the ground and were made of wood and had woodpeckers harassing you on a daily basis, I would say, okay, I think you definitely deserve to be a tree, but you're not a tree.
Well, that's what the theater person in our elementary school said to me when I tried to audition for The Wind in the Willows. Okay? Now let's move on. Okay. Period.
If it makes you feel better, you can exclude one of us from the next week's reading. I have a Game Boy too, you know. It's okay.
I don't.
I gave up. I kind of gave up on the Game Boy. I realized, just like, I kind of want to listen to this, actually, as well. But I did open up the rest of the cards, and I thought of a fun thing that we could also do as well.
Ooh. I like fun.
Yeah. So I am going to randomly, let's just do this before we even talk about the reviews, just because I feel like doing it, and it seems like it'd be a cool thing. So, okay, pick a, pick any mad genius in the Marvel Universe that you would like. I'll just lead this, and the two of you can be try and do this.
What? Specific Marvel?
Marvel, DC, what have you.
Dr. Sivana.
I realized for a second, Dr. Sivana is the one.
Is it a mad scientist or just a madman?
Someone that actually could create something. I'm going with the Mad Scientist University kind of I was looking through the rest and I thought it'd be really funny, so.
I'm going with Dr. Sivana.
Okay.
I'm cross between Dr. Doom and Norman Osborn.
You can also do a hero as well. Like, there is Dr. Fantastic. I mean, Mr. Fantastic as well, so.
Well, after all the bullshit...
Norman Osborn really isn't a scientist, so he's more of a madman.
Yeah. Well, think about it. All the bullshit Mr. Fantastic causes, if he could, he might as well just be a mad scientist.
True. But yeah, that's the thing, though, you know.
I think I'm going to go with Dr. Doom.
Okay. So, Dr. Sivana and Dr. Doom. So, first
round
of all...
One.
Yes, I'm going to give you a... I'm going to look for a fun one. The insane assignment that you guys have to do is... is to pull an all-nighter. And I am going to give... Okay. So, Dr. Doom, you will be having mosquitoes as your... as one of the parts of your plan. You have to include it in whatever crazy plan you come up with. And,
Wait, what do I have to include?
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes,
and
okay.
And your plan to pull an all-nighter. And, Dr. Sivana, you will have sombreros. So, pitch me your plans of how you're going to create an experiment that will...
enable us to pull all-nighters.
Yes.
All right.
I'll give you some time if you want. I'll play some background music.
Good man.
Okay, Sam, you may go first.
Dr. Sivana chooses to hold a Mexican theme night in his home city of Star City, in which everyone will be required to wear special Sivana brand mind-controlling sombreros and also drink tequila, because tequila is Dr. Sivana's favorite drink. Okay. Utilizing the mind-control sombreros, everyone will stay up all night and do hat dances. Hat dances are Dr. Sivana's favorite dance. All dance! Right. Dance for Sivana!
Thank you. That was a good evil laugh at the end, too. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Savannah has been working on this.
Dr. Doom, your proposal for using mosquitoes to stay up all night.
I, Dr. Doom, who hates Mr. Fantastic because he's a douchebag, I, Dr. Doom, think that if I was going to use mosquitoes to pull an all-nighter, this is what I would do. I would genetically alter them to listen to me, and I would command them to venture out and find some of the greatest heroes and villains of all time and suck their blood unknowingly, because they will be invisible as well. Not only will they listen to me, but they'll be invisible. Ooh. And then, when they return to me, I will take all the blood that they have taken and make it into the world's greatest cup of coffee. And I will consume the world's greatest cup of coffee because I, Dr. Doom, thought of it. And when I drink that world's greatest cup of coffee from the blood of the greatest heroes and villains of all time, I will be able to pull an all-nighter because I will be super fast, super strong, super endurable. And I will be able to create spot-like portals and go in and out of them to get more coffee. Ha ha ha!
Okay.
Fuck you, Mr. Fantastic.
All right, so it's tough. So Dr. Savannah, do you have any plans? Dr. Savannah and Dr. Doom, would you have any plans to actually market these devices? Your mind control outs or, and in general, your mind control sombrero parties. And Dr. Doom, this mind control coffee, would there be a blend that you could perhaps mix at the Starbucks?
Well, Dr. Savannah plans to muscle out that weak-willed son of a bitch Mad Hatter from the Mind Control Hat Market and then take it over completely. We will corner the market on mind control hats, but we will only sell mind control sombreros in the interests of diversity.
Intriguing. Okay. Dr. Doom.
I would market my world's greatest cup of coffee from the blood of genetically altered mosquitoes who suck the blood of the world's greatest heroes and villains. I would market it only in my powerful country of Latveria, where my lovely followers will drink it, and then I will have an army of genetically altered power things, and I will destroy Mr. Fantastic, because he's the only thing that matters. As long as I humiliate and destroy him, that's all that fucking matters, because he's so mean.
Okay, that's enough, Dr. Doom.
Why won't he be
Dr. Savannah is
me?
Here.
There's no crying in that sciencing.
I'm not crying.
Okay.
I'm having an emotional appointment because I'm trying out for my Doctor Doom the musical in Latveria.
Okay, but this question: if you are the leader of Latveria, I mean, obviously, can't you just make them give you the part of Doctor Doom?
Could you repeat the question? Doctor Doom doesn't understand it.
If you are the actual leader of Latveria and
all right, no more questions. Yes, Dr. Doom is very tired.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Savannah and Dr. Doom. Thank you for meeting with me, and let's go on to the review.
Hey guys, I'm back. How was the Dr. Doom Dr. Sylvanas thing go?
They were good. Yeah. I mean, Dr. Doom kind of a pussy though. Just gonna say.
Wow, I heard. I didn't.
I didn't mean pussy. Pussies are strong. Actually, I mean scrubs, because they're pretty weak.
I had to jet out. I saw Dr. Savannah coming. He just gives me the willies.
Yeah. Well, I asked him some questions. I asked him to give me a good plan, and it was quite fun. It was interesting to hear their thoughts.
I hope you're not going to steal any of their plans.
I wouldn't.
All right.
Because Sam and I happen to be friends with these guys, so. If you did something like that, we'd have to.
Dr. Savannah. Is he a creepy friend?
Well, I don't want to say anything too big, but we're like BFF, you know.
Okay.
We're so tight.
I'm not only Dr. Doom's acting friend. I'm his acting coach too.
Oh.
Because he told me he had his people create a musical called Dr. Doom the Musical, and I told him I'd give him some acting pointers. I mean, he's still new at everything. He still has a lot of emotional appointments, which I keep telling him to try to control. But You know, he's getting there. I will say he's getting there. I think he'll be ready come opening night.
Yeah, you think he'll have met all his emotional appointments by then?
Yeah, he'll probably have them all worked out.
Okay.
Just don't mention Mr. Fantastic. He gets upset.
Okay, that's good. So
I get the feeling that Dr. Savannah really loves the Latin flavor. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All right. At any rate.
And let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we move on to the meat, to the final main course of our podcast this week.
Yeah.
We will be doing a double whammy review of Planet Hulk and World War Hulk.
Yes.
Hulk would be happy.
Yeah, we will.
First of all, it's Hulk will be pleased with this. Because I just got to say, the first thing I kind of forgot, I'm not even sure when this actually changed happened, but The Incredible Hulk became incredibly well-read and versed, and you know,
he stopped talking in the third person.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. It kind of creeps me out, and it's sort of just it's, whenever he does talk, though, it is this very cliched kind of action hero kind of thing sometimes, which is like him just saying a cliched phrase like, "Oh, I knew that would happen,"
because he knew.
Yes.
You knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so how about we'll chop this in half and we'll start with Planet Hulk because obviously that one comes before World War Hulk.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll talk about we'll spend a little time on that one. Give it our final review, like our final vote, and then we'll go to World War Hulk, talk about it, give it our final vote, and then we'll do an overall final vote on the two of them.
Okay.
All right.
So, let's start with Planet Hulk. Let's open up the discussion. Anyone want
man,
to jump at it?
Man, that was cool. Oh, man, that was that cool.
You get it?
Speaking as a guy who's really, really not a big fan of the Hulk, I don't find the stories in general particularly compelling. I find the idea of the Hulk an interesting one, but in practice it's never gripped me. Planet Hulk was really good. I was really impressed with where it went. I think mostly because thematically it was much bigger than just a story about a man who turns into a monster when he's angry, literally. It actually asked what the definition of a monster is and how you can define that. In the midst of all these like varying, because nothing is black and white, and some people are ruthless and evil people. Some people are quite good, but most people do evil things sometimes and do good things other times. So, and the Hulk is one of those. So sometimes he's a monster, sure, but look at all these other people. There are people more monstrous than even the Hulk. And,
yes.
No, it's crazy, man. I thematically, this was strong. This was,
I actually was quite impressed. I was quite impressed with Planet Hulk. It kind of like, I'm going to go movie nerd for a second. It kind of reminded me of what, the movie Gladiator would be if it was the Hulk and on an alien planet with things as strong as the Hulk.
I feel like there should be like a whole series of just movies and comics that just, it's not like action adventure. It's just like, Royal Empire dethroned by up and coming fighter.
Yeah, like
it never gets old. Really.
Yeah, it didn't get old the entire time. Like it was very, very good throughout the whole thing, and like it had a good pace. Like it didn't really get slow anywhere. There was always something good in each little part of the arc. And
yeah.
Although I will have to say the artwork was a little messy when it got to like these big splash pages and whatnot. I'm not going to attack the art. I'm not going to attack it because it was just a big, it was a whole mess of a story because all these things were happening. Like they were, everyone was just trying to kill the Hulk like in other stories, but this is like they put him on a planet. And not to mention, I loved the cameo appearance of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, he was I like that he had the Silver, I like that he had his surfer as his shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was so cash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those things you're only really gonna appreciate fully if you're entrenched in the Marvel fandom. But no, that's I really got off on that. Mm-hmm. Seeing the Hulk and the Silver Surfer fight.
That's actually one of the few things. I don't really usually go in for, oh, who would win in a fight, just seeing matchups of classic characters. But this actually, that really got me excited. When I figured out this was like the Silver Surfer that we were talking about, and they were going to have an epic battle. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do this.
Because you don't expect it until like that point. Because it kind of comes out of nowhere, and you're like, no way. No way.
Wait, what? Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And
he just did that.
And then not only that, but you get to the point where, like, Hulk, the Hulk, not Bruce Banner, the Hulk finds somewhat of a love interest, which I don't know if it was explored very often before this.
Well, there was apparently someone else that the Hulk fell in love with, this woman named Jor-El, which I've never heard of before.
Yeah, our lack of Hulk knowledge.
It seems like I've heard of her before, but I have no idea when that would be, because I'm not really... Because I think I read a book about the Hulk, an old book about the Hulk when I was in elementary school, so I might know something about it from there? I don't know. But it seems like I've heard of her before. But, no, this was just... I think that was one of the best parts of this, was that it wasn't a book about Puny Banner. It was a book about the Hulk as an entity.
Yeah, like, it was sole Hulk. Like, Bruce Banner was, like, not even secondary. It was
really funny when Bruce did appear, though, because there was, like, this... Just
oh, yeah, that was awkward. That was awkward. That was awkward.
That was... Oh, man, that was just weird. And then, but so often the Hulk gets treated as like a symptom, you know, a symptom of this random gamma mutation that Bruce Banner has had. That's something that Banner has to deal with, and something that sometimes the Hulk comes in handy. Sometimes, mostly, it's just a mindless beast thing. But now he's like this. Actually, fleshed out the Hulk's personality for me, and I'm really glad that the Hulk has changed as a character so that he does have a personality, and he's not just mindless anymore. And wants to be left alone. That the Hulk has wants and needs and desires and hatreds that make up an actual psyche and an actual personality, rather than some random id or whatever the correct term is for that psychological thing in Banner's mind. And when Banner comes out, he knows that he can't handle it. He's just going to let the Hulk do his thing.
He's and, like, you know, he's, oh, God, I don't even want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Take over Hulk.
Banner can't survive. Banner knows that. And he's but he's along for the ride. And to some I guess that Banner is back in the back of the Hulk's mind. He can see everything that's going on.
Yeah,
he doesn't know. He has no control over this or anything, but he can see what's going on. And the fact that the Hulk just wants to be left alone, and that's something that's kind of brought up throughout the book,
time after time. Guys, just leave him alone.
What I think is kind of interesting though is this book, like, is besides the questions, which I really don't feel like they come up that much. I feel like it's just the main question is, what would happen if the Hulk really did find a place where all his, like, just anger and violence is actually accepted and kind of applauded, really, instead of just being feared?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of weird, I thought. The only weird part about it, come and think of it, is this whole prophecy thing that the Hulk is going to be the world breaker, I think is the – was that the term that they use?
Yeah,
they use Scar.
We're gonna have to spoil it anyway to say, like, you know, kind of what that means, like, because it's gonna be the main point of the World War Hulk as well. Because basically, the Earth ends, like, this planet ends up being destroyed. Basically, once the Hulk actually brings about peace, surprisingly, he makes a great planet that he could like actually live on,
and he has a love interest.
Yeah,
it's actually really cute.
And he gets some magical wow wow.
Yeah.
And,
oh man.
And then he gets a kid.
I'm sure even Banner enjoyed that part.
Yep.
Well, you know, because Banner was never going to get with someone that fine. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Betty Branchick really would never give out.
You know, she's not giving it up. Nope. You know, alien chicks do.
And I like that. For some reason, she sort of sounded Asian to me because she'd always say like "Hulku."
Yeah. Oh, God. Dude, here we go again. We should probably talk about something else.
Yeah, I just thought it was really fun. It just sort of reminded me, like, Hokusan.
Oh, that's actually true.
Yeah.
And so, overall, I thought Planet Hulk just was a great story.
Yeah.
Are we all still here? I felt a wave of, like, nervousness. And like it has like a lot of things you need for a good story like that you don't normally see in Hulk stories, because a lot of them are like everyone wants to destroy the Hulk. Like, yeah, there's that in here, but there's more of like the Hulk side of what's going on, and like how he changes a whole world. Like that's not that like initially like doesn't hate him and then grows to love him. Like he gets supporters, he gets allies, he gets fans. Like,
yeah. No, and this is like. This is really defining the Hulk for me. To the point where this is what the Hulk wants when the Hulk is in a particular situation. I feel like this story actually helps you to understand like how the Hulk reacts to a whole wide variety of things. And really, it's I hesitate to say it, but I gotta say it. This is on a very, on some level, kind of inspiring. What do you think about the power of someone to persevere through through enormous hardship and really to just change the entire world around them. And even though the guy in question has super strength and is nigh invulnerable, it's It really is a powerfully moving story on that level and on many other.
But indeed,
For me, it's like it didn't really hit me that hard. I felt like of the comics that we have read, it was sort of like okay, it's cool. It was nice, but I don't know. It was like it wasn't that great for me. Like I felt it was just you're saying it defines the Hulk, but for me, the Hulk has always sort of been. Hulk, like, it really is kind of like, he is just this, I know there's this inner, like, fight, but I just also recently read another Hulk comic, Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine.
That is actually pretty good.
And just sort of after reading that and then this, it was just like, I much prefer just the angry, pissed off Hulk that, you know.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but just to me, that was always what I... But I didn't really care for about the Hulk because it just seemed so one-dimensional to me.
But I mean, it's sort of like, oh, okay, we don't want the Hulk, but oh, something's going to happen, so we're going to need the fucking Hulk again.
Right? No. Yeah. So you're saying this isn't like really this is a green gamma dude that's going around and smashing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I actually don't really think he's the Hulk. I actually love how Planet Hulk and World War Hulk are like summarized in mini Marvels. I'm sure you've read it, Alex.
Yeah.
How the Illuminati are just meeting at a club and like everyone's like, "Hey, so we're here to talk about the Hulk," and then Namor is all like, "Yeah, isn't the Hulk great? Every time there's something really big that none of us can beat, the Hulk, we always ask to get the Hulk to help us, and he saves us. Isn't he awesome? Yeah, we're gonna shoot him into space. Why? Because he keeps breaking stuff."
And that's sort of like. But I mean, like in general, also just the story itself, I feel like it could honestly be like put with anyone else, and I feel like it would be perfectly fine. I feel like you could replace the Hulk with any other superhero or just any other really strong.
You just want to see Deadpool on a gladiator.
Not even Deadpool. Honestly. Like, you could honestly put this with like a Hulk villain or something. You put this with like a.
The Abomination.
Yeah, the Abomination. It's sort of like.
Oh wait, dead.
Can we put Dexstar on a plane?
Yeah, sir. Dexstar can come to this planet and he just vomit on all the villains. It's like, how do you do this? And then his vomit also, when it hits the ground, it grows things as well.
Oh, it's true. It does.
Yeah, but I'm just like, but that's what like kind of it feels weird because it just sort of feels like. This could be done with any other character. Mm. I know it's sort of like, oh, but this time it's done with the Hulk. But still, it's just like, you know what? You're just sort of going off of strength. It's not like honestly, I felt if Bruce Banner was actually needed sometimes, it's like, oh, we need Bruce, like, you know, you need to give up, like, kind of the reins to Bruce for a second because something like smart needs to actually be done. Like, or it didn't feel like a Hulk story. It felt like a incredibly strong guy story.
Oh, okay, I see.
I can see what you're.
Now, are you saying that you could use any other character for that because of like the destruction that all superheroes tend to cause in the Marvel universe?
Yeah, I mean, like, Mike mentioned the Gladiator movie. I don't even fucking know who the actual main actor was for the Gladiator movie because it doesn't
matter. What?
It's just a guy.
Sorry, I was watching
Did someone step on your toe?
Yeah, and then I heard you say you don't know who Russell Crowe is.
Yeah, that guy.
The guy who threw the phone at the guy at the hotel.
Exactly, that guy. Who is that again?
I'm sorry.
But I feel but that's like something that that I thought was really interesting. That they're they have to send the Hulk away into space to make sure he's not in space. For the level of destruction that the Hulk causes, the amount of destruction that he causes is so massive that even like the Fantastic Four, Reed Richards, whose battles with Galactus and all sorts of cosmic villains have caused Manhattan to be almost destroyed completely.
Mr. Fantastic. It's that kid in the museum that keeps touching the shit that says "Do not touch," and he makes a dinosaur.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the but that was like hinting at the just the level of. Then again, I haven't really read the amount of Hulk that you have, Alex.
I honestly haven't read that much Hulk. It just sort of feels like this odd thing, which is like. I'm just sort of used to like it was really odd that like the Hulk never yells in this except like there are a couple of like moments when he's just like rah, and that's like and then just goes back to like I know just the place period. That's sort of like why I got using the period because he's just never there's never an exclamation part until like these big moments, but he's always using these big like exclamation points.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to really.
Yeah, I guess I can.
So I kind of read this like I'm gonna go back and say how I read Scud. I started reading this knowing that I wasn't gonna get like the great romantic kind of stories that other like well written things have been. I knew going in this is gonna be like a super duper guy kind of book.
Yeah.
So no. For what it is what I that's why I liked it because I read it knowing that okay it's gonna be one of these books.
Yeah,
I actually might have these affections for World War Hulk or Planet Hulk rather because of the really low expectations I had when I was going for this. I am generally like I said I am not a big fan of the Hulk at all. I don't find him to be particularly compelling. But the what I saw, I was really pleased with.
Okay.
I was really happy with Greg Pak's writing on this. He made the Hulk interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't think you view this as an actual Hulk story.
Yeah, it's kind
this
of because I
this
like
is
Greg
the incarnation
Pak.
Of the Hulk.
I like Greg Pak, and I like really enjoyed Greg Pak writing for The Incredible Hercules, which came after World War Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually like the main reason The Incredible Hercules is around is because of World War Hulk.
So bottom line, guys, I'm going to give this a thumbs up.
I will give Planet Hulk a thumbs up because, as I said, like I came in with low, like Sam, little low expectations, and I kind of knew where this is going to go. And although the artwork was a bit messy from time to time, I did like it for what it was, and I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
I'm going to give it a thumb sideways. I'm going to say
what? Sorry.
And don't ever read Watch Gladiator. No, that wasn't supposed to be your response, Mike.
What?
There we go.
Yeah, there we
go. I'm going to lose my voice.
Yeah. So, oh, no.
So that's And part two of our review, World War Hulk, the logical conclusion to the blank Hulk series. So after the planet explodes, like you said, Hulk comes back to Earth, and he got a mad on to smash up the Illuminati.
And I gotta say, the thing is, I think the ending for the Incredible Hulk, Planet Hulk, would have been a lot less more, like, would have had a lot more impact if I hadn't read World War Hulk ahead, first, and found out about what happened.
Oh, that might have
been that thing where it's just like, and I might have been the one that tell you guys, like, let's not do World War Hulk, let's do Planet Hulk and then World War Hulk, because.
And you go and do the opposite.
Well, no, but this is what that was me talking. That was me coming from experience of having only read World War Hulk, and was like, you know what? I kind of think that maybe Planet Hulk would be better off to read. I felt like there were things that I missed. Like, well, honestly, we didn't even talk about all his friends, his new pals, like his Warbound, which was interesting. And it was sort of like, hey, I'm this character. I'm gonna be like, you know, the annoying sidekick. It was like very I felt it was very kind of silly, kind of how it was just like very odd. But yes,
I thought, like, World War Hulk in general, I didn't like it nearly as much as I liked Planet Hulk.
I actually have to agree with you, Sam. There were things I did like about World War Hulk, but in an overall look at it, I enjoyed Planet Hulk a lot more.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess we'll go into some reasons.
I felt, honestly, it should have been just the whole collection itself, because there was, kind of the realization at the end, like, surprise, should have really come at the end of Planet Hulk, not, you know.
That would have been actually...
Well, I would have accepted that.
Yeah, I mean, you mean the surprise as to why the Hulk shuttle blows up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that kind of like that
would have. It was hinted at in kind of having read World War Hulk. I was like, oh, there's that hint. Okay, but it was
resolved immediately. And it's a I see what you're saying. That would have removed the need for World War Hulk, and I actually that would have been a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
I would have been happier if the Hulk got to
put them together. That's sort of like what I'm saying. There should be like one big trade. Like, I know Planet Hulk is already a humongous trade on its own, but I feel like they could have put both of them together. Just, it's like only six issues of World War Hulk with
a lot of. I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Yeah.
No, I agree. It definitely feels tacked on, World War Hulk does.
And they kind of try to compensate for it by putting a bunch of big name heroes and villains in there for Hulk just to smack up or get smacked up by, then again.
And another thing is there are some Hulk some Hulk moments where he's just so well spoken again, and it does feel odd.
I did get a little uncomfortable by that point. I mean, I'm going to go back to Chris Giarrusso's Mini Marvels. Like, they sum that up when Hulk sends the message to Earth saying, "Hulk's so angry, I'm going to stop talking in the third person."
Yeah.
wow, that just made the series.
And I think that's sort of what my initial kind of feelings are about it. Just you gotta even if you gotta still include some third person, but they don't, and it just makes it kind of weird. Because there are I remember this one moment where he's just fighting with fighting against Doctor Strange, and just well, Doctor Strange, you use your hands, of course, so I can just crush them now. You're just really?
Yeah.
You're gonna
Yeah.
Well, that's actually kind of the you can't honestly tell me, and this is actually something that bugs me in other things as well. You can't honestly tell me that the Sorcerer Supreme doesn't have a spell that can fucking heal his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. By that,
can't mutter some words and then
the man. First of all, the man hurt his hand. The reason why he became Sorcerer Supreme was because he lost the ability to use his hands. You think he would
have a backup spell? Okay, guys, this is my in the event my hands break spell. Just in case someone decides to break my hands.
Even goofier, I'm just going to mention it. Zoolander. you remember that hand model in Zoolander?
Yeah.
That's a good contraption, except make it even stronger glass, you know.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure if he has to put his hands together, but honestly, you know, just put those two big balls of glass around his hands, you know, so he can still cast, you know, spells without ever getting hurt.
I have to say, about the thing of the third person, I mean, that I still didn't have a problem with that so much, because of my feelings about the Hulk. I'll say, will you meet me halfway on this? At the very least, it was consistent.
Oh, it certainly was.
I will go with that. Yeah.
Because that's a problem that sometimes crops up is because, mm-hmm. You want to have, I think there was one moment that, the Hulk like did have a whole thing that he was like, Hulk smash. And by saying it ironically.
Yeah.
That was a weird moment for me.
That's, you know, it's just like, you're not supposed to be so smart when you're the Hulk that you can be ironic and self-aware. You're, you know.
Can you remember when you were, like, clinically retarded?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
That was kind of weird. I did, like I said, it feels tacked on. They keep, Greg Pak's writing is, I still enjoyed, kind of. But by this time, the definition of a monster theme is wearing very thin on me by the time I got around to World War Hulk.
And I think it's kind of good that he did, like, the Incredible Hulk did actually turn into the Incredible Hercules, because I think it made for much more, because I think the reason why I think I find it weird that the Hulk is sort of so well-spoken is because I'm so used to the Incredible Hercules. I'm so used, like, because the Incredible Hercules, he's well-spoken, but he's really strong also, so I can accept that.
You're feeling like this is like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, that's sort of what, like, it's sort of this odd thing, which is like
Sam made up a word.
Yeah, no, I accept that too, because actually at the end of Planet Hulk, you have these like smaller issues. Like I actually have the trade because I borrowed it from the library because they just got it in like this Thursday or something. I was able to pick it up. To read it, so I was surprised how well that worked out. But they have, like, an appearance with, you know, kind of a quick little team-up, like, appearance of Amadeus Cho, Mastermind Excello, his first appearance, and it was really funny to see him like this. But then you have, like, the Incredible Hulk coming out of nowhere and saying, like, just being like, you know, what did Banner tell you? And then, like, Amadeus says, don't be stupid. And then Hulk says, he's weak. Not like us. And then he walks away. And it's just like, really? I mean, really? Like, and then, like, you have, like, Amadeus Cho teaming up with the Incredible Hercules. You're just like, it's the same relationship, but it actually works because it's not, like... Because Amadeus Cho is just supposed to be, you know, he should be really calming Hulk down, not being sort of walking, like, with him, just like, oh, yeah, that's a...
But can I... I'm gonna probably defend World War Hulk for just 1 minute.
Go ahead, you're welcome.
A couple parts that I did like is, you know, I kind of said yes, they kind of compensate by putting big name heroes and villains in it, like all the Illuminati's and Iron Man coming out and trying to fight him. Thunderbolt Ross lunges himself at the Hulk with guns in hand.
I do like, I definitely like the Sentry fighting with. That's
the next I was going to get to. Okay. I'm sorry. First of all, like, I love the whole thing of Thunderbolt Ross, and he gets just pile driven into the ground and is still alive somehow. And I'm like, yeah, you're a terrible father, but, you know, you're pretty badass.
We said that we were going to talk about that, actually, when we – back in the Father's Day episode.
Yeah.
And how – and that's actually – I just want to say, like, real quick before you get into the Sentry. That was – that's actually – I thought the best part of World War Hulk, because that defines Thunderbolt Ross – In a way that makes him a sympathetic character to me. Like, no matter how often you say the world, you're still a monster, man. You break shit indiscriminately. You're dangerous, and I know, we know, and you'll always be hunted. I'll always be there to stop you. That was cool. And then he gets pile driven into Manhattan. I'm not sure how he's still alive, but anyway.
I'm just gonna guess, and I'm just gonna go and say magic. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yes, but anyways, as Alex was saying as well, the biggest epic part is the huge climactic battle against the Sentry, because the Sentry finally decides to get off his ass, because he's like, you know, he kind of feels so he doesn't really feel like doing anything about it, because he's like, it's your problem, go take care of it. And then he finally is like, okay, time to play God. Like, he finally, like, accepts the fact that he's just, that he has to be the one to stop him. And then the weird thing is, he can't calm himself down. Like, he's starting to lose it. And, like, they're both just, they just both beat the shit out of each other. I'm sorry for kids at home, but they beat the shit out of each other until they both revert back to their human alter egos and just fart
collapse.
Out. Yeah.
And it's actually, yeah, that's the creepiest thing that I've ever seen the Sentry do.
That they pounded each other so hard that they couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. But the, like, that look on, I mean, John Romita Jr. is doing the art for this. So that kind of jarred me, actually. And this was,
again, it was a little messy. He was even messier.
This was messier than anything that I've seen, John Romita Jr. do before. That's saying something. But, he did a fantastic job with, like, the Sentry's expression as he comes in, as he comes in and starts wailing away on the Hulk and everything, and he's grinning, and the Hulk's just pounding his face into mush, and he's pounding the Hulk's face into mush, and he's grinning, and this is great. I can finally open up on this guy. This
like
is
he can finally cut loose. Like, he's always been afraid he's going to really hurt somebody, but now he's finally just letting it all go, and then that's his problem. He's like, guys, he's like, Hulk, you know, I've been trying. Like, I love the ironic little statement he makes. He's like, you know, I've been always trying to calm you down, but now it seems I can't calm myself down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, it ends very, like you said, they both kind of just run out of gas.
Exactly. It's sort of...
And then you see two battered, bruised, skinny little men.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like... everyone else is all
wait,
like...
What?
Everyone's like, whoa.
What?
Oh.
There you go.
Oh. Oh.
But, alright, so overall thoughts on World War Hulk, guys?
I'm gonna give it a thumb sideways.
Thumb sideways, like I said, for me as well. I mean, honestly, it's... I was really excited. I remember, like, kind of... It took a while for it to, like, all finish up.
And I just like, it didn't live up to that hype you wanted it to live up to.
Yeah. I would also give it a thumb sideways. Yeah, this is a very bag for me.
Mm. Okay, so then we're gonna put. Okay, I guess we could say a question now before we give the final verdict.
Yeah.
But there's something we should usually discuss when we go over these trades. Were we happy reading these as trades, or would we have rather read these issue by issue? Because I mean, Alex, you explained already there was only six parts to Planet Hulk, and then there was certain, like, that or more or less.
I know there were a lot of spin-offs as well, like, so because that's what they've been doing with these, but that's sort of I definitely feel that World War Hulk is, like, it is, Planet Hulk is good as a trade. It is, like,
yes, I was gonna say Planet Hulk definitely
long story.
You need all those pieces.
Yeah
I wouldn't have read Planet Hulk in any other form than in trade.
I actually read I actually read a spinoff of World War Hulk that happened to be at Barnes & Noble's when I was reading the original. Mm-hmm. It was when he's fighting Ghost Rider shows up and tries to fight him. And, you know, he tries setting Hulk on fire and everything, and Hulk's like, "Oh, I'm impressed. Let me just show you what I can do." He claps once and all the fire's gone. And he kind of just basically beats the shit out of Ghost Rider. And then as soon as Hulk walks away, Ghost Rider comes back up, comes alive again, because, you know, he technically can't die. Yeah, and he's right. And then Ghost Rider's like, this is basically what it is. Like, yeah, that didn't work. I don't think I'm going to fuck with you. Peace out. And he just rides away. I'm like, okay, I guess he did the smart thing.
Yeah. I'm just going to say I definitely if it was actually out in trade paperback, I will definitely be getting Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk when it comes out.
Oh, absolutely.
That was that was fun. And that was a really, honestly, you get to see Wolverine beat up a panda, which is just hilarious. I think it's just the title.
that's my impression of a panda.
Yeah. It's really funny, like, just in general, some of the titles in that comic are really funny.
Okay, so do we think World War Hulk should stay a trade, or would have been better to have issues? Because I personally think it would have been too big of a mess. Like, it's a big mess enough. Like, it would have been too big a mess to be in issues.
I mean, yeah, it's just better like as a trade. It was annoying that it was sort of like this long, drawn out, like, five issues that just like spent more than just the summer itself to be done. And like when it was just like, okay, this is just like honest. Like, it's when I read fights, they go really fast for me. Like,
yeah, this would have been much more dramatic, I think, if I would only ever pick up the main title for this. But I feel like you're right, Alex. It would feel much more powerful issue by issue.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely. It loses the power when you have to kind of wait in between for just fighting.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, but that's my opinion.
Okay.
I guess do we all agree with that?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess we do our final overall of Planet Hulk and World War Hulk. Like, what our final vote is, I guess?
Yeah.
Well, I'm tempted to give – this almost gets a thumb sideways for me. I'm going to give it a thumbs up. The ending really – just World War Hulk in general and the ending in particular really – brings this down, but for Planet Hulk's sake, I'm still giving this a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Well, still thumb sideways for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say that kind of averaged out.
Yeah, it was you know, it was averaging, it just averaged out.
For yeah, me, like because right? Like, yeah, like Planet Hulk was just so solid, and then World War Hulk's just a big mess. It almost gets a thumbs up from me, but I'm gonna have to give it a thumb sideways. Because like there was just too many issues. Like there was, like I said, there's only a few things I liked about World War Hulk, and it was just not enough. But for Planet Hulk's sake, I can't go thumbs down. So that's my vote.
All right.
Okay.
A very mediocre week in the trade world on the Mild Mannered podcast.
All right, so
I guess that wraps up this week's podcast.
Yeah,
it does, in fact.
Okay,
and I am your mild-mannered man on the street, Sam Riedel, saying thank you so much for listening.
I am mild-mannered music man, Mike Gilbert, saying what? And I hope you have a good week, and we'll see you next time.
I am mild-mannered Alex Erty, going out to look up all the tarot card comics.
with or without your pants?
Oh, without pants, of course. I'm in an apartment alone. What else do you think I'm going to do?
And we will see you guys next time here, right here on the Mild-Mannered Podcast.
City like a big playground, when suddenly Batman burst from the shade and hit Godzilla with a bat grenade. Godzilla got pissed and began to attack, but didn't expect to be blocked by Shaq, who proceeded to open up a can of Shaq Fu when Aaron Carter came out of the blue and he started beating up Shaquille O'Neal. Then they both got flattened by the Batmobile, but before he could make it back to the Batcave, Abraham Lincoln popped out of his grave and took an AK-47 out from under his hat, blew Batman away with a rat-a-tat-tat. But he ran out of bullets and he ran away, because Optimus Prime came to save the day. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see. And only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Scruff McGruff took a bite out of crime, and then Shaq came back covered in a tire track. But Jackie Chan jumped out and landed on his back, and Batman was injured and trying to get steady when Abraham Lincoln came back with a machete. But suddenly something caught his leg and he tripped. Indiana Jones took him out with his whip. Then he saw Godzilla sneaking up from behind, and he reached for his gun, which he just couldn't find, cause Batman stole it and he shot and he missed, and Jackie Chan deflected it with his fist. Then he jumped in the air and he did a somersault while Abraham Lincoln tried to pull faults onto Optimus Prime, but they collided in the air. Then they both got hit by a Care Bear stare. delivered a kick which could shatter bones into the crotch of Indiana Jones, who fell over on the ground, writhing in pain as Batman changed back into Bruce Wayne. But Chuck saw through his clever disguise, and he crushed Batman's head in between his thighs. Then Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White and Monty Python and the Holy Grail's Black Knight and Benito Mussolini and the Blue Meanie and Cowboy Curtis and John B. the Genie, Robocop, Terminator, Captain Kirk and Darth Vader, No Pan, Superman, every single Power Ranger, Bill S. Preston and Theodore Logan, Spock, The Rock, Doc Ock and Hulk Hogan all came out of nowhere lightning fast, and they kicked Chuck Norris in his cowboy ass. It was the bloodiest battle that the world ever saw, with civilians looking on a total loss. On for a century, many lives were claimed, but eventually the champion stood. The rest saw their better, Mr. Rogers in a bloodstained sweater. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Good guys, bad guys, and explosions. As far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown.
Oh, it apparently was the upset victory over Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. Wow. So, all those D&D people are rolling in their graves because they got beat by mice.
Do you mean D&D 4th edition, or do you mean by its lesser known name, World of Warcraft?
I'm sorry, I feel as though I'd be happier just being a mouse with a sword than trying to be online, trying to have an online wedding with an orc.
when Mike has the choice of either getting to marry an orc and have a huge following online, or being a mouse, Mike went with choosing the mouse.
Hey, mice just want fun.
Yeah.
Mice just want to have fun, man.
Yeah. And lots of sex.
Okay, the burger is down now.
Yeah.
Like perverts in the internet.
The burger is down. Repeat, the burger is down.
Yep. No, I just got fries, but I can just slowly eat that during the show at least.
The fries will be eaten. The fries will be eaten. I can't do it, Captain! Just do it. I don't know what you just said. Awesome.
You don't have to know. That was creepy.
Oh, that was mildly creepy. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy.
Bless this. That creepy voice.
I'm looking at my cards now. Let's see. Oh. Take over the world. Fly to the moon.
Fly me to the moon.
Fly me to the moon. And let me play among the stars. And let me see what Jupiter like. Forget it. I fucked it up. Let's go.
Jupiter and Mars.
In other words, hold my hand. I like me and Sam are singing this, and Mike is just sort of quiet.
It's all right. I know when someone else needs to get their singing out. It's all right.